I think most of you remember the movie, an old film by Robert Redford, A River Runs Through It. And I found out that Brad Pitt, I think that's his name, cut his teeth on that film, and it was the film that really launched his popular career. So A River Runs Through It, if you remember, was way back in 1992. It was set in Montana, and it is the story about two sons, which is interesting. One is very studious, and the other one was rebellious. Does that sound familiar to all of you? It sounds like biblical, isn't it? And what's also interesting was that these two sons in this novel or this story were the sons of Presbyterian minister. Does that sound familiar also to you? And what was interesting also in that story was that the setting in which the church was located in that stream somewhere in Montana was a church called Our Redeemer. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? It's a Lutheran church, but it says Our Redeemer Church. When I look at that, I was at the movie or the movie and the story, I realized that there's a lot of wisdom that was going on in the conversation. A couple of things are worth repeating. It says, eventually, all things merge into one and a river runs through it. And some of the rocks underneath are timeless raindrops. And in some of the rocks, there are words and words. I am haunted by water. And there's also another quote that I really like. It says, at sunrise, everything is luminous. At sunrise, everything is really bright and beautiful. But it's not clear. Is there anything about wisdom in this story? I kind of like the whole idea in the art of fly fishing. I was told that it's a very difficult sport. I have seen men and some women somewhere in the West in a serene, cold water, just casting their net with the arm beautifully arc, and you can see the line flying through it. And I was told there's physics involved. There's a particular kind of chemistry and choreography in the art of casting a net when one is into fly fishing. Well, I attempted fishing with, you know, those ordinary $20 or $30 fishing reel. And when I attempted to do that, and of course, I got to get some worms and some lure and whatever it is, I was told I've got to keep my eye on the horizon. So I kept my eye on the horizon. I'm supposed to have my arm like this and gently, with grace and beautiful, just kind of throw that and see what happens. So I did. Threw it, and all of a sudden, the line got caught in a tree branch. So it's right there. So there you go. There's the arc. And then I thought, well, I got to try it again after I cut the line and put the lure and the weighted lure. And I was told that if you put the lure, it's supposed to follow the line. So that's what I did. I had my action. I casted it, plop, right there in front of me. Does that ever happen to any of you? And I thought, I look at my reel, it says something about Captain Nemo on my reel, and I knew I should stay away from Captain Nemo or something that says Little Mermaid fishing reel. So I thought maybe I need to go a little bit higher, like pro bass or something like that I've seen some other people. But I think of that movie as a way of casting wisdom. Because speech is not necessarily wisdom. The rhetoric that we hear, not only in our time, but also in Jesus' time, is not really wisdom. But you see, Jesus was always surrounded by men who can recite long prayers, isn't it? That Jesus said, look at you, men, you are wearing beautiful flowing robes. You stand in corners with fringes, which means their prayer shawl, it has fringes and they can recite prayers. You stand and you recite long prayers, but you really do not have the wisdom of God. And Jesus was also surrounded by Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Levites, who knew the sacred traditions of the church from captivity in the wilderness into the promised land. They knew the story. They knew the script. But Jesus said, you do not have that kind of wisdom. So in our world today, you know, we look for the source of that kind of wisdom. When you take a look at the book of Proverbs, you know, the wisdom from the Proverbs is not from King Lemuel. The king who offered this wisdom. I thought all of this wisdom came from men. But actually, the most important Proverbs that we hold dearly about the wisdom that comes from God comes from the mom of King Lemuel. It says, a wife of noble character who can find. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Her lamp does not go out at night. It did not come from King Lemuel. It came from the pen of his mom, who said, you need to be careful, my son. I am going to give you this instruction so that you can offer this wisdom to your people. In the book of James, it asks, who is wise among you? Let them show it by their good life, by good deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. You see, some wisdom are really heavenly. And when wisdom are heavenly, it really transforms our character. It transforms our communities and it transforms our lives. But there are wisdom out there that are really in the realm of darkness, you know. If you follow some of the words in the community, in the popular literature, you know, these are not words of light. Some of these are realms of darkness. It is powerful stuff because some emotions can cause disorder and disunity. When wisdom will cause people to sow dissension in unity, it is not the work of the Spirit. Because the work of the Spirit produces fruit for all of us. And when we have that fruit, it has the capacity to sow abundance and create abundance in their own lives. And this is what Jesus was talking about in the scripture, cultivating wisdom. Because when we talk about wisdom, it is spiritual work. And when it is spiritual work, it requires a particular language of the heart. One of my favorite life verse, and I hope all of you have a favorite life verse, not to subdue people, not to captivate, not to amuse people, but a life verse that you really remember in your heart, something that you carry, something that you are willing to share. I like the one from Galatians chapter 6. It says, those who are spiritual should restore one another in the spirit of gentleness. Those who are spiritual should restore one another in the spirit of gentleness, and in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. That is my life verse. To build grace upon grace. Because grace is really the currency of holiness. And when there is holiness, and when you find it in yourself, in other people, God is with you. Think about breaking boundaries and making a difference in the life of individuals and communities. When the currency that we speak and share is about the language of grace, it follows wisdom. And so Jesus, in this particular scripture, came again to Capernaum. You know, we hear about Capernaum again and again. It was a place of hospitality, a place to recharge, to unplug, a place for Jesus just to be himself and enjoy what the gifts of the community can offer. But you see, the disciples thought that Jesus was not listening along the way. You see, what was happening in the scripture was that they were arguing between one another. And if you've seen some people arguing, you know that some of the arguments are really loud, and sometimes it borders on being abusive. So they were arguing with one another. And when Jesus asked them, "What were you arguing about?" Well, the disciples were silent because they were afraid. They knew that Jesus had them. They knew that they were now in the corner, and they have to account for all of the things that they have experienced. Now, this week I learned a few choice words, good words actually. Well, I learned a few choice words, but they're not good words. But these are good words that I learned this week. I knew that these words, and I've used them in one form or another. It says cultural competency, the ethos of the community, cultural intelligence, you know, all of these things. Well, I know that. Competency, the ethos of the community, intelligence. But the last one, my friend and I, when we heard it, we just laughed. It says about cultural humility. That kind of sets us laughing, and many other persons also. You know, humility? To be humble, that sounds like the work of other people. But this is what Jesus experienced. He was trying to figure out the humility that is in the disciples, and he cannot find that kind of humility. I read a Chinese proverb. It says, "Keep a green tree in your heart." And perhaps if you have a green tree in your heart, the singing bird will arrive. I think the birds have left, isn't it? Usually when I wake up in the morning, I can hear them. I think they went south already. Maybe they know what's going on that we are not aware of. Maybe autumn is really literally knocking on our door. But you see, discontent is the kind of stuff that weighs us down. It is the kind of stuff that separates us from the love of God. And here the disciples were experiencing this massive discontent in their own hearts. Who is the greatest? And Jesus immediately took a child and let that child stand beside them. Not in front of them, not behind them, but beside them. That's a graphic image. A child standing with the leaders, with elders of the church. That's unheard of. That's uncalled for. And in some other images, isn't it? We see Jesus with the children on the lap of on his lap. We've seen some beautiful stained glass windows, isn't it? "Let the children come to me, for to such belong the kingdom of God." So Jesus challenged them, because a child so innocent, a child who is so defenseless, Jesus said, "Look at this. If you have faith and if you have the wisdom, you are going to be close to the heart of God. So whoever welcomes me, or one of these in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me." He said that to his disciples. "But you actually welcome the one who sent me." When we encounter Christ, you know, Christ leaves a mark in your heart. I got this paper. My daughter will kill me if she finds out that I borrowed this. And I'm going to be sure that I return each piece right here on this box. It's origami. You know, she loves doing that. It's very small. I think she made something more bigger than that, and she may have given me a couple of things. I don't know what this is. Kind of like turtle or porcupine or something like that. But don't tell Litany that I said porcupine. I don't know what it is, but it looks like turtle, but it's beautiful. I read somewhere in the Japanese tradition that when you fold a paper and there's some creases in there, that crease will remain forever. You know, you cannot do anything about it. It is already formed. And so I thought, that's a beautiful image. When we encounter Christ, Christ leaves a particular mark in your life, an impression, an imprint that will last forever. And those who receive God's word is really imbued with wisdom. And when wisdom is there, no one will depart from that truth. And Paul said, no one will be able to separate you and me from the love of God. And in closing, I know that when goldsmiths, I heard, will take a mold, and if it is imperfect, they usually sprinkle some gold dust with wax on it to cover up the imperfection. And Michelangelo, according to the story, when they take marble from the quarry, and if it's imperfect, they will rub some dust from the quarry and smooth over the rough spots. And they call it sincerely. They call it sincerely when they try to make something that is imperfect and to make something beautiful. Cast not only our burdens to the Lord, according to the scripture, and he will not depart from you. The good news, I believe, in casting, and someday I'll try that. Sometimes when you cast something or cast a line, something comes back to you, isn't it? You reel it in. It's beautiful. Maybe it's a trout. Maybe it's a weed or something. Most of the time for me, it's a weed. It comes back to you. But sometimes when you cast, nothing returns. It's empty. But I think that's the way our life is, you know. Sometimes we come away empty. Sometimes we come away with being full. But you see, the good news is this. In the ark and in the art of casting, God is there. In the art of casting, God is always there. And I think that is what Jesus is attempting to convey. The wisdom of God. And if we have that wisdom, how beautiful it is, our Christian walk together. Amen.